Now, one of my favorite bands in high school was the band MXPX. Many of you don't know who that is, I understand, but MXPX was and is, because they still do a little bit nowadays, a punk rock band, Christian specifically. I also liked secular, for those of you who are like, you nerd, you liked Christian music in high school. Yes, I did. Okay, but I also liked The Offspring and different things like that as well. Don't judge me, it's who I was and am. There's a song that MXPX sings called Responsibility. And the chorus goes, responsibility, what's that? Responsibility, not quite yet. Responsibility, what's that? I don't want to think about it. We'd all be better off without it. Okay? Now that should explain to you why I am the way I am. But the reality is that song is really the heart cry of young adults or teenagers of responsibility's hard. But we all have it. We are all held accountable. We are all responsible for something, and it's difficult because responsibility isn't fun all the time. It's burdensome. We tend to try to release ourselves from responsibilities, in fact, find others to be responsible for. And that's what lawyers often will do. Find someone else responsible for what you've done. We will even give others excuses from time to time. Maybe we know of somebody, maybe at times for your kids. You know, it wasn't his fault he threw the first punch. They were mocking him. You know, so we don't like responsibility at a heart level in reality. We often will make excuses for our behavior or others' behavior. They're just a fun-loving guy, and I'm not really that type of person. It was a moment of weakness, and so we don't want to be held accountable, responsible. Oh, they shouldn't expect to be completed their assignments. They're hard. We're busy with sports, or the teacher's just out for them. But the reality is we are all held responsible by God for something in our life. And even our kids are responsible. As we saw last week, it is the parents' responsibility to know their own hearts first, and then know their own hearts, kids. Our kids sin because they are sinners. And so are we. It's sinners raising sinners. But God is gracious. And so we need to know the sinfulness of our children's hearts. And in the midst of that, and with a trusting in God and looking for His guidance and wisdom, we guide and instruct and discipline our children. And with that, we need to specifically instruct and guide them in their responsibility. So what is the responsibility of children? As we look at what our responsibility is as a child, or our children's responsibility, we have to first see that our conduct and their conduct is a proof of character. We know what we are like by what we do. And so last week we saw that parents need to understand that they are raising little sinners. We and our children are born with a sinful nature, and it's just a fact. It's not meant to be offensive. It's not meant to bring us down. It's just the reality that our hearts are sinful, that our children are born with sinful nature. Folly, as we saw last week, is bound up in the heart of children, and the rod of discipline drives it far from them. And so with that knowledge, we as children, yes, we are all children. And one thing I want, for those of you who are beyond or don't have kids or beyond children age, you are a child of God, so just apply this to your relationship with Christ. And so with that knowledge, as children, we as parents should not be shocked that our children sin. Yes, we can be frustrated, but it shouldn't shock us. It should grieve us, but not shock us. We should not be comfortable and complacent with our sin or our children's sin. We have to understand that what we do shows our character, and it's the same for our children. Even a child, in Proverbs 20:11, even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. Children need to know what their actions are. Are they pure and upright, or are they sinful? We not only have to understand what our actions are, again, before we begin to parent, that old take the log out of your own eye before you deal with the speck applies to our relationship with our children even. We not only have to understand what our actions are, but we have to understand where they come from. Children understand that when they do wrong, it comes from your sinful heart. Do you tell your kids that? It's because our hearts are broken. The devil didn't make you do it. You did it. Your brother and sister didn't make you do it. Your parents didn't make you do it. Your friends, your teacher didn't make you do it. We did it. Whether how justifiably we can make it, our hearts did it. I respond in anger because there's anger in my heart, and it needs to be dealt with. So children, when you do well, it is grace from God. When our hearts do what is pure, upright, good, or obedience, it is a gift from God that we are not as bad as we could possibly be. There is a theology called total depravity. Mankind is totally depraved. The fall of mankind affected our entire being. That doesn't mean that you are as wicked as you possibly could be, but it does mean that you are by nature a sinner and cannot save yourself and cannot by default do what is pleasing to God. That comes by His grace. And so this doesn't mean that when Christians do bad, they are all bad, but that in that moment, sin won out. And it needs to be dealt with in our hearts. And when the Christian does right, then God's Spirit is showing its influence in our hearts. When a non-Christian does bad, they're doing what is natural and what their heart naturally desires. That's their default. When a non-Christian does what is right, it is grace, common grace. It is a gift. And so it is all a gift. It is all a grace. We have to understand that what we do matters, and God is faithful to work in us, and He has given us parents to guide us in what is right. Proverbs 27:11 says, "Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me." This proverb is an encouragement from a parent to their child. Actually, the whole book of Proverbs is really a parent talking to his kid. "Sit down here on the bed. I got to learn you." And so this parent is teaching and instructing their child in what to do and what not to do. If they do what is wise, they show themselves to be walking towards wisdom. And not only this, but it brings joy to the parent's heart and honors the parents in front of those who are watching. I mean, how many of us, we just had this experience last week at Do Animal Haven. I love my son. And and all of you have seen how cute and awesome he can be. But if I say no to something that he does not want to do or that he wants to do, all hell in his heart breaks loose. He wanted to sit on the railing to watch the black bear. I said no because you could fall and hurt yourself. In comes the absolute squirming out of my hands, screaming, and obviously everybody's watching me because at least that's how we feel. I wanted to call in the local priest and get an exorcism going right then. Because obviously what I was doing ain't working. Now, I don't mean that he does that all the time, but in that moment, that was one of the most shocking moments that we've had. And it was in public. Save it for home, kid. And so the temptation in all of this, if you were older, well, Dad, if you had just let me sit on the railing, I wouldn't have had to do that. And so the temptation is to blame our actions on others and gloss over our heart's response to our parents. We can tend to look at what we do and not hold ourselves accountable. And so I want to share you a story that a pastor shared about when he was 13. He said, "When I was 13, I can remember this day. It's not a proud day for me. One day my mother asked me to take out the garbage, and I remember. I can see the place where I was standing. I can see the white round-topped garbage can that you had to lift off. And for teenagers, that's a lot of work. So if you want a happy life, get one that you just have to press down with your foot, okay? I can see it like it was yesterday. And I almost screamed at her, 'Do, do, do. All I ever hear around this place is do.' Now, that is not true. It wasn't true. My mother was a servant of no small proportion. So what was going on? There was something in my 13-year-old frustrated soul that was all out of whack on that afternoon. I was dead wrong to talk to her that way. I was factually wrong to talk to her that way. But something was going on in me. She was not responsible at that moment for my anger. I was." And we can flip that around on the parent as well. When you get outright angry, yelling, screaming, we can blame it. Well, if they just didn't do that, maybe. But that seed of anger was in your heart. Don't pass it off. Repent of it. Ask the Lord's strength and help. Children and parents, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't blame sin and frustration on others. We have to weigh our hearts and see that the stuff we do is most likely because of the stuff in us, not the stuff around us. And if we're still children, even our parents. That's why it's so important to pray that God would change and guide our hearts. Only then will our conduct, through the grace and mercy of Jesus, grow in purity and righteousness. And so as we understand that what we do is a sign of our character of heart, and we all need a heart check, we all need a heart makeover, a heart transplant, we understand that we must seek a heart that honors our parents. The ultimate responsibility of all mankind is to honor and glorify God first and above all things. It's the first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 23. "You shall have no other gods before me." Jesus gives it to us in the greatest commandment, Matthew 22, 37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And so God is to be honored above all things. He's to be honored above your job. He's to be honored above your kids. He's to be honored above your car. He's to be honored above anything you own, feel, or do. There is nothing more honorable on this planet than Jesus Christ himself. I know it's hard for us to hear, but you are not all that. Your kids are not all that. Your little kingdoms that you're building are not all that. God is the most supreme being, and all of what we are needs to be in worship to him, and our hearts, again, don't see it. And so we have his word to correct us. We have his spirit. And so with this fact that God is to be honored above all things, to be glorified above all things, God calls children to honor their parents. Exodus 20:12, right there, later in the Ten Commandments. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God is giving you." This is so fundamental to the family structure that Paul takes time to elaborate it as he talks about the home in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and he even goes into the end of chapter 5. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." There is a promise connected to this commandment, that all things may go well with you. Now, I have never met a child, including myself, I've never met a teenager or an adult who truly does well in life and faith because they dishonored their parents. I've never heard a testimony. I've never heard of, I did so well because I was a jerk to my parents. That you never hear that. In fact, dishonoring our parents is a quick road to having things go bad. So what does it mean to honor our parents? First of all, that word for honor in the Ten Commandments connects with the idea of value. And if you follow it through, that value is honor, and actually where we can get the idea of honorarium. And when we think of honorarium, we think of money. And so I heard in seminary an Old Testament professor speak on this, and he was talking about the Ten Commandments in this verse specifically, and he connected it to 1 Timothy 3, where elders are worth, if they're in the area of preaching and teaching, are worth double honor. And he said, when you become a pastor, go to your church and tell them that, you know, honorarium, value, honor. And so then he connected it back. He said, as adults, your job of honoring your parents does not end. It might look a little bit different, but don't just ignore them. Even if they have a financial need, that's where children step in. And in today's society, it's a lot more difficult in that realm, but the idea is still the same. We are always to honor our parents, especially if we're blessed to still have them around. And so we place value on our parents, not that we set a value in terms of how much someone should pay to take them off our hands, but they are valuable. So with that, seeing them as valuable, we treat and listen to them accordingly. Honoring your father and mother is being respectful in word or action. You have an inward esteem for their position as your parent. We revere and we prize them. Many of us have people we have never met that have no immediate impact to our lives that we tend to revere more than our parents. Even if we aren't the biggest fan of our current president, most of us are wise and mature enough to honor him and show him respect if he were to walk in the room. How many of us would show that same honor and respect for our parents if they walked in the room? Yeah. So how do we honor our parents? Proverbs 23:22-25 gives us a little hint. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Just because you're old doesn't mean your kids can't learn something from you. Buy truth. Do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Her who bore you, rejoice. First, children honor their parents by listening. This doesn't mean just listening to the words coming out of their mouths, but taking it to heart. That's what Solomon means when he says, do not despise one's mother, especially when they are old. How many of us have been there when we were teenagers? The last thing we think of our parents is, they know what I should be doing. To despise means when they say something, we don't take it seriously or we don't care what they say, and we're probably going to ignore them. Solomon also addresses an issue that is all too common, that when we get older, we tend to think our parents don't know what we're really dealing with. We honor our parents by listening to them and respecting that they have lived and gained wisdom. Second, we honor our parents by seeking to know wisdom, truth, understanding. Parents are responsible to teach and discipline their children. Their children honor them by listening to their teaching. But also going further, they hunger for more. Solomon shows the effects of one who honors their parents. The parents rejoice. The mother is glad. Honoring one's parents brings joy to the home. There are other ways we can honor our parents as well that this proverb doesn't treat. We can also honor our parents by empathizing with the long, hard challenge of raising children. The more children you have, the longer the challenge of raising children becomes. That is why when we see people with more than two kids, we look at them like they're crazy. They must be nuts. They are guaranteed, depending especially how long they space them out, to have a long road of parenting before them. Raising children is difficult. So empathize with your parents, whether you're an only child or you're a child of 10. Empathize with your parents as you get older. In our empathizing, we can honor our parents by recognizing the delicate balance, especially for Christian parents, to balance the do's and don'ts with the blessings of forgiveness and grace. One of the things that makes it hard for parents is the unusual responsibility that maybe your friends don't have to balance what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. You can always say, I love hanging out with my friends rather than my parents because my friends don't tell me what I should or should not be doing. That's because they don't have to live with the consequences of your actions. They don't have a God over them saying, this is what your children should be doing. Parents don't parent just because it's the right thing to do. It's the God thing to do. It's not an easy task. When do you show grace? When do you lay down the firmness? Understand and empathize with this difficult balance and how difficult it is to get it right. And if the Lord someday leads you to being a parent, you will want children to be patient with you in this endeavor. So extend it to your parents. Now, it's all nice and good to say that our ultimate responsibility is to honor and glorify God in doing that we are to honor our parents, but even young children have a sinful nature and inclined to honor themselves rather than their parents. So children need to understand the effects of disobedience and dishonor. Ignorance is bliss until the reality hits you square in the jaw. The reality of life is that our actions have consequences. So if we have a heart and attitude that tells us we don't want to or will not honor our parents as God has instructed, then we better be ready to deal with the consequences. So our children must understand that it is their responsibility to be ready to face the consequences of disobedience and dishonor. And I get it. Not all parents do great jobs at parenting. And so some of us can say, my dad, my mom was a real, you fill in the blank. But that doesn't give us the exception to not honor them. And maybe there's some sins that they did seriously that they need to deal with. And maybe they never dealt with it. Maybe they died before they ever came to you for forgiveness. They're in God's hands. Stop dwelling on it. Because your hands are nothing compared to the hands of the living God. Work on it. Pray that God would take the bitterness away. But Proverbs makes it clear about the effects of a child's disobedience and dishonor on the family. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Proverbs 19:26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. And so we can read these as saying we better honor our parents, otherwise we'll make them look bad, which is true. But the overall motivation of these verses is not essentially to make sure kids make their parents look good. The overall motivation of these verses is to glorify God. As stated earlier, our number one responsibility in life is to glorify God. In the Middle East and biblical culture, it is big on the issue of honor and shame. It was awful to publicly shame someone, especially a parent. You know, when it says turn the other cheek in the Sermon on the Mount, that's not so much if someone's ready there to take your life, it's more of a shame issue, that they're willing to embarrass you and make shame of you. And so if they're all they're doing is shaming you, deal with it. Turn the other cheek. Okay, so it's not quite a pacifist piece of scripture. And so glorifying God, shame is awful. We don't have quite that issue of not shame, as shaming being a big deal in the United States. That's why it is a shock to our culture when we hear of family honor killings, specifically from those in the Middle East. And honor killings, I'm never saying that honor killings would happen under the guise of the Bible. The Bible would despise them, teach against it. Yes, in the Old Testament it says if your children are committing idolatry specifically and not ceasing idolatry, bring them to the elders and let the law deal with them. And it had grave consequences for that. But it was idolatry and leading others into idolatry, which is a capital offense in the Old Testament. But this idea of honor killings in our day and age are shocking to us because we don't look at shame and honor the same way. Just this past May, a Pakistani man who was working as a New York City cab driver was sentenced to life in prison. His daughter, who was being forced into an arranged marriage in Pakistan, escaped to the United States with the help of another young man. Her father, who lived in New York City, vowed to have members of this young man's family killed if his daughter was not returned. And he made good on that vow. His family, who was still in Pakistan, gunned down this young man's father and 21-year-old sister. And now this man, for organizing it and playing a part, will be spending life in prison. This is shocking. This is awful, but it illustrates how important honor and shame is in Middle Eastern culture. The Bible does not tell parents to kill their children if they bring shame upon them. It does warn children not to bring shame upon their parents because the family unit is a microcosm, a small picture of God's family. We honor our parents in a reflection of our honor for God. If we do not honor our parents, then we cannot be said to honor God. And that's why it's so serious. Yes, on a human level, we should not want to shame anyone, let alone our family. But in a kingdom level, we want to honor God through honoring our parents. To dishonor our parents is to dishonor God. So let's say your heart does not want to honor your parent. Well, you need to seek God for the heart change. When we don't want to do what God wants us to do, we need to ask God for the want to. Church, whether we're thinking about ourselves or our children or our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, when we don't see in our hearts what God wants there, we need to be in the business of asking Him for it. We don't just sit there all glooming and wishing it was there. We fight for it by battling for it in prayer and accountability, and that God would change our hearts. And so you may say, what if our parents want us to do something that is against God's commands? Well, we are to honor them, but not imitate godliness. Ungodliness. If a parent ever instructs a child to something that clearly contradicts the commands of God, that child must obey God rather than his parents, but also be ready to face the consequences of sinful parents. Now, children, make sure you know God's word and what he expects before you claim you are doing what he wants rather than what they want. You can't claim, God told me in a dream to let me go to that party, and you're disobeying God by not letting me do that. That's not what that means. Know God's word. They're telling you to sell drugs? Yeah, disobey. And so this takes knowing God's word, prayer, and mature counsel from mature believers and parents. This means it's your job to show them how to study the Bible, how to know God's word. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Jesus in Matthew 18:6 makes it clear what dangerous territory we are in if we cause, specifically cause, children to sin. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. You know, for such a nice guy as Jesus, that sounds pretty harsh. But it's serious. Children of physical parents or children of God, know your Bibles. Parents, know your Bibles and instruct your children in the way they should go. Parents and their children are sinners. That's the base of it. Parents and children are both called to honor and glorify their Heavenly Father above all things. We will fail. But Christ has conquered our failure. On our behalf, He has lived a perfect life. He is the perfect parent. And so when we fail on the cross, He stands in our place as a parent. So in your failure as a parent, in your failure as a child, point to Him. Say, son, daughter, I failed in this moment. We both need to look to Christ for a better example. Forgive me. And kids, when you mess up, I'm sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Forgive me. I need to look to Christ and His example and forgiveness. Church, never be afraid to repent. Never be afraid to ask anyone for forgiveness. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength in the gospel. Receive His forgiveness secured by not your good work, but by the life, death, and resurrection. And then from there, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in the way that you should go. And parents, ask Him for the help in guiding your children in the way they should go. And so, Father, we thank You for Your grace. We are sorry that we don't give it the honor always that it is due. We are sorry that we have trouble enough honoring You, let alone our parents. And so, Lord, forgive us. Strengthen us by Your word. You are our strength. You are our rock. You are our, even as the Bible describes, our mother hen surrounding us with her wings. And so, Lord, show us the way, guide us in all that we will do, whether we're parents, whether we're grandparents, whether we're aunts, uncles, whether we have no children at all to speak of, Lord, we are called to honor You and honor the parents You have given us. And so, Lord, strengthen us and help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.